Friends are listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. My notes say that Liam Birmingham, the top dog of the GAA, is supposed to be my guest, and then it says, but he has been sidelined by John Reardon, the public relations officer for the New York GAA. And first of all, John, you're very welcome.
Thank you. You'll be accused of trying to cause a mutiny.
Anyway, Lima is not around for very good reason. And indeed, we could even break the news here this morning that he was over doing his bit, casting his vote.
Yeah, he's in Croke Park in Dublin this weekend for Congress. And they've just elected a new president who will be installed next year, Éagon O'Fergill from Cavan. He's the first Cavan man to take the position. He's a former Ulster Council chairman. And Liam Birmingham, the chairman of the New York GAA, was over there with a couple of other delegates and our secretary, Mary Murphy. So, and hopefully they'll be coming back with some other good GAA tidings as well.
Now, not only did the president run the pronunciation one more time for me. I'm from Mayo, God help us. So, what is it? It's Éagon?
Éagon O'Fergill. Yeah,
oh, Éagon.
I mean, I'm not 100% sure either, but that's how I do it. I'm sure they pronounce it different with the Ulster Irish, but
okay.
That's how I'm going to butcher it.
But you see, yeah, well, that's all right, and I can only say I was going along with you, you know?
So,
anyway, a little bit about yourself. You came to the United States a few years back as a journalist on a journalist visa, but your background, and I'm sure you still do, write for the Irish Examiner newspaper in your native Cork. Is that right?
Exactly. Yeah. Formerly the Cork Examiner, I've been there maybe 7 or 8 years, and I came over, as you say, on a journalist visa late 2010, and I've been living in Brooklyn and enjoying life here, and have been getting involved in the GAA scene through the Manhattan Gales Club, and subsequently as a PRO of the New York County Board.
Terrific. Now, you picked a very good year for this. Not too many would get this opportunity unless they wanted to wait 100 years for it. congratulations on that. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's a huge year for the association. It was set up in late 1914 as the Gaelic Association of the USA, and it subsequently became the New York County Board. So it is. It's a landmark year, and it's something that needs to be, you know, handled correctly and with all due respect to the past. So we're mindful of all that's gone before us. For example, the banquet, the centenary banquet at the end of March will honour the 7 living presidents. So it's very much a celebration of the past while also looking at the future. And when I was asked to come on board late last year, you know, I obviously had to mull it over, but as you say, it's never obviously going to happen again in our lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So it's better to be on the inside, helping the celebrations go as smoothly as possible.
You know, first of all, maybe you might explain to us or give us a synopsis of the Gaelic Athletic Association Ireland.
The games go back, I suppose, a couple of centuries at least. You know, there's evidence going way back, but they decided to finally actually organize themselves as a proper association in 1884. Briefly, it was part of a general kind of cultural movement that was happening in Ireland in response to British rule. So
mm-hmm.
you had language, you had theater, and you also had sports. And this was the GAA was an effort to bring together the sports, regularize it, have have proper rules, have a proper system which was coordinated, and that's what it sprung out from. It took a few years, obviously, to settle down in the late 19th century.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
what came first in turn? Was it hurling or Gaelic football?
Well, hurling, Gaelic football back then. GA nowadays also includes handball and also the score, which is the cultural part of things, Irish dancing, all the rest of it. Also rounders, which is an interesting thing that people forget. Rounders is part of it. Rounders is a kind of an Irish version of baseball. I don't know how the two overlap, but that is a fact that rounders is officially part of the GAA. And, the games have been developing, obviously growing over. They celebrated their 125th anniversary, back home about, 4 years ago.
Yes.
And it's grown and grown each year. It's got to the point where the athletes are now are, you know, they are technically amateur, but they definitely practice and play like full-time professionals.
Yeah.
But they do have their day jobs to carry on with as well.
Did you start, or do you consider yourself a sports writer, journalist?
Sports is where I've cut my teeth, I suppose, in journalism.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to expand a bit since I've moved to New York and do other bits of writing, current affairs, political affairs, a few features, a bit of travel writing, this and that. So I'm kind of a jack of all trades and a master of none, is what I keep saying to people.
Yeah.
But definitely sports desk back home was where I learned how to actually do the, you know, the brass tacks of journalism.
You're also very connected with the Irish world, which is for our listeners has nothing to do with the Irish World newspaper here that thrived under the auspices of the O'Connor family for more than 100 years. But what is the Irish World that you're connected with? Where is it?
This is a new, well, it, for the last 20 years it's been a newspaper, a community newspaper back in the UK. And now they've decided to move into the New York, New Jersey and Boston markets.
Mm-hmm.
As a weekly community paper, and they've asked me to come on board and help out with the launch, which will be happening early March. So hopefully we'll be hitting newsstands on early March, just in time for Patrick's Day.
Let me ask you about one of, you know, we all had to scratch our heads when we got the news release that the Gaelic Athletic Association would be marching in the New York St. Patrick's Day parade. And, you know, it's expected that more than 400 members will march the route. We would have assumed that the New York Gaelic Athletic Association would have been marching for the bulk of the last 100 years. Not so.
Not so, yeah. I would have assumed the same thing. Obviously, members of the association here would have marched in the parade, but they would have done it with their own counties or own groups or whatever.
Right.
But as the GAA itself, and I suppose the best way to describe it is, and how the parade committee have told us to describe it, is it's behind the banner of the GAA, so you're marching
right
as a group, as you know, that's what you're going to be walking up Fifth Avenue representing.
Right.
So as such, and yeah, I've been going through the history. There is a history book which is in the works, which will be coming out hopefully in the next couple of months, and I've been helping out with the editorial process there. And what I found out through that, and what a lot of people didn't know, is that the GAA hadn't been marching since before World War II. So for some reason they were invited to march in the parade in 1937.
Mm-hmm.
And did every year until 41, which was just obviously maybe 6 months or 8 months in advance of of Pearl Harbor.
Yes.
And then obviously with GA players and members possibly going off to fight, it kind of maybe just whittled away, and it was never resurrected back up since that. And thankfully, you know, a couple of discussions were had last year in advance of the centenary, prior to me coming on board. So this is other people organizing this. And
yes.
the parade committee, John Dunleavy and Hilary Byrne, were
yes.
gracious enough to invite the GA to march and also dedicate their parade to the GA on the centenary year.
That's great, and indeed well-deserved, we might add. Now, the New York Gaelic Athletic Association is such a prominent association outside of Ireland that many might think that the New York GAA is actually, you know, head and shoulders above any of the other organizations across the United States, many of whom I just offended by that remark.
Well, the situation here is that there's actually, it's a North American county board would be across America, across North America, obviously. And then there's the New York County Board. So there's really only two boards in the country.
John Reardon, is it any harm to ask you, do they get along with one another mostly? Or is that an unfair question?
You know, I mean, everyone gets along. We're both trying to promote the game.
Yeah.
You want to see the games prosper. At the end of the day, you want as many people playing as possible, both from a point of view of the games enduring in this country, and also from a general kind of Irish cultural tradition that you want to keep alive. When it comes down to the minutiae, people will disagree about everything, and that's the same
right.
for every county board, every division within a county board, and every club within the division. That's always going to happen.
That's so peculiar for the Irish. I mean, you know.
No, but
anyway,
like I say,
thanks for the opportunity to offend everybody else while it matters, you know. Now,
equal opportunity, I like it.
Offender, yeah.
No, everyone wants the same thing. Everyone wants the games to not only survive, but be as popular as possible. And the games are growing at an absolutely unbelievable rate across North America. And there's, you know, they depend more on their divisions because of the geography of the thing. So
right.
you have a really, really vigorous Southeast division happening around Florida and Georgia. Amazing clubs popping up there. Obviously, San Francisco, Chicago, and Boston will always be strong.
Right.
But there's an amazing hurling club in Milwaukee, an amazing hurling club in Indianapolis. So everyone is driving towards the same goal, but everyone has their different priorities, and
right.
you know, that's the same in any walk of life.
Absolutely, and it is being recognized, and I think again, and rightly so, as a major force in Irish America. You know, whether that has, if you look at, for instance, immigration reform and where we are, you know, on the totem pole for immigration reform, the Gaelic Athletic Association across the United States has become a very significant group that you know, I won't say replace, but that enhances many of the other organizations, including, of course, the Ancient Order of Hibernians, but they're a primarily young, energetic group of wildly interested Irish Americans that are, in many cases, because of our stupid immigration laws, are replacing the whole scene in sports, which is, in one hand, is a great thing, But again, due primarily to the fact that there has been no immigration, acceptable immigration for decades here. So it is a huge force, and it is, again, I didn't know until you mentioned the other tentacles of the GAA in terms of adding on handball, adding on the other sports, and the cultural aspects. Just if you will, give us a brief rundown of the cultural aspects that we normally wouldn't associate with football or hurling.
Well, it's funny you should mention that, and I didn't really plan this, but there's going to be a score on Sunday in the Bronx in Woodlawn, which is being driven by there's a new initiative within the New York GAA.
Mm-hmm.
Again, now I wouldn't have any personal responsibility over this. There's a lot of other great people working on this. But there's going to be a score Sunday.
You mean tomorrow?
And it's for obviously for young people. There's all it's kind of a variety show. In all respect, it's there will be Irish music, Irish dancing, and it promises to be the start of something really really special, because this is a thing that people forget, that score is a major part of the GAA back in Ireland, and hopefully with the work of some people here, it will start to become that now.
Okay, just to back up for a minute, score, I don't know anything about that either. Is that score, is that an umbrella?
I suppose it's an umbrella within the GAA that covers the cultural side, so it covers Irish dance, Irish singing. If you don't mind, I'll actually I'll read out what's in front of me here.
Go for it.
I've just dug this out while I was clambering over that. It combines all the colour and rivalry of Gaelic games with the social and fun element of Ireland's traditional pastimes. The competition score was established by the GAA in 1969 with the aim of promoting Ireland's traditional pastimes and culture while offering club members the chance to meet up, have fun, and represent their club during the winter months while football and hurling were on a break. So that's going to be happening tomorrow at St. Barnabas Chapel in Woodlawn in the Bronx. They've described it better than I could.
What time is that, do you know?
It's between 2 and 6, from 2 p.m.
From 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. Okay, well, that's definitely a new, a new addition and a welcome one as such. And again, for the centenary of the Gaelic Athletic Association, what a marvelous thing to trot out at this point.
Yeah. As I say, there's a lot of good people organizing, there's a lot of energetic people, a couple of very energetic people from my own club, Manhattan Gaels. And also, if I could really name one person, it's Lorna Smith, who's been she's from Longford in Ireland. She came over last year and she's been really pushing, getting the score back out there in the GAA in New York. And it couldn't pick a better year for it to kick things off properly again.
What there are many major events that take place during the year, but there's one in particular. If my listeners, and they're used to it by now, if I can be parochial, the visit of the All Ireland Champions, Mayo, to Gaelic Park in May, and then there's the Continental Youth Championships in July. Just give us a feel for that.
Yeah, just for fear of offending any Dublin people, Mayo are actually the runners-up to Dublin in September, but they're still one of the best teams in Ireland. They're, over the last 4 or 5 years, they've consistently been the best. Unfortunately, they haven't quite got over that finish line for about a half a century. So they have to...
Yeah, tread very lightly now, if you don't mind. Okay.
Oh, you know, I'm just speaking facts. No, they're a phenomenal team. They were amazing to watch last year. They obviously, Dublin were just that bit stronger, on the day, you know, three or four more times they could have played and it could have been a different result, but that's just the way it goes.
Yeah, we're still wearing a band-aid. Some of us are still have band-aids on from that, but anyway, healing is beginning, yeah.
They'll be coming out here May 4th, Sunday, May 4th, to play in Gaelic Park to kick off, essentially, the All-Ireland Senior Championship. It's part of the Connacht Championship. New York have been playing in the Connacht Championship for over a decade now.
Right.
And, you know, Ian Galvin is the manager there. He's built up a really, really good panel. A lot of former inter-county players from back home. They're full of energy. They know they have a tough task. They're under no illusions, but they really want to make a good statement for themselves. So it should be a good day out, you know.
Absolutely. And now, how is the team playing? You know, the All Ireland champions. How is that team selected? Do we know? What is the process? Is it going to be mixed room gathering of the best?
The New York team?
Yeah, the New York team who would be playing the All-Ireland champions when they come here in May.
Yeah, they're gathered together from the local senior clubs in the New York GAA. So basically, yeah, it's the best of the best over here.
Mm-hmm.
They come from different counties back home, of course, a range of counties.
Yes.
And like, apart from we have one Irish American, one New York born player, James Yvan, who's a very good player.
So this is not going to be a cakewalk for the visiting Ireland champions by any means.
No, I mean, look, it's for them, it's their worst nightmare to have to travel, you know, 5 or 6 hours across the ocean for a weekend in New York. They're playing on a surface they're not familiar with. They're playing in probably conditions they're not used to.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be early May, but it's going to be a little warmer than it is back home.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of little differences that a footballer at that level would become a little bit unsettled by. But I mean, they will have, obviously Mayo is one of the big, counties in terms of the diaspora over here. So they'll have a big support. But no, they're not going to enjoy it, and definitely the Mayo management and any manager that brings their team out here, it's their least favourite thing to do. They'd rather be in Ireland having an easier trip. And obviously they're going to come up against a very hungry young team,
mm-hmm.
Who are just going to just make it difficult for them. So no, it's not pleasant for Mayo.
I wanted to go back to the tremendous number of established clubs, I believe in the area of 40, that spread across just this immediate tri-state area, New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because obviously we keep saying that it's New York GA, but it is the greater New York region, so we've some great clubs, Hoboken Hurling Club in New Jersey, and the St. Patrick's Football Club in
mm-hmm.
Connecticut. And obviously the bulk of the clubs then would be within the five boroughs, and obviously you've got Long Island Gaels as well, which is they have a football and a hurling team.
Right.
But yeah, the scene is very healthy. It's of course nowhere near the heyday, you know, long before my time in the 60s and the 50s and, you know, back as far as even the 20s when there was just incredible amounts of clubs. But at the same time, there still is a real good energy about the clubs here, and you know, again, it goes back to what I said earlier. Everyone wants the games to survive. Everyone loves going up to Gaelic Park on a Sunday.
Right.
We would like, especially on our centenary year, to start bringing more of the crowds back again. But you have to give them something to come up for, and that's I suppose that's our job for the rest of this year.
Now, also, you have all of this stuff costs a lot of money and there's no getting away from it. But you also have a new sponsor in, I believe, in Navilis.
Yeah, Donal O'Sullivan and Navilis have very kindly agreed to come on board and support us this year. You know, they will be great supporters all year, but they've been incredible so far.
Right.
Very supportive, and you know, it's unfortunately, especially in the modern world, you can't do a lot without money. So you do in every walk of life, not just
right.
sports.
And now that's not taking anything away. You know, sponsors for Gaelic Athletic Association have been many and consistent, you know, through the years. And we do know that it's they should also, you know, be acknowledged. But definitely the having Navilis now come. By the way, the general manager of the Queen's County St. Patrick's. I suppose, wait a minute now. I suppose GM in this case no, is the Grand Marshal, not the General Manager. Okay, fine.
I
only get, when I get notes here, you know, it's, some of them I'm sure the writing is all right, and the rest of it has to do with the dialog that I wear on many occasions when I'm trying to read stuff here. But Donal O'Sullivan is indeed the Grand Marshal of the Queen's County. That's the Rockaway Parade, and that's
exactly.
Going to take place next Saturday. And again, I guess it would be fair to say that the St. Patrick's season will start next Saturday, because I think most people would know that we are. Without question, the only ethnic group that can knock a day and change that miraculously into a month of celebration. So the month of March, from beginning to end, is definitely you know, the St. Patrick's month, recognized by any smart politician, and even the ones that are not that smart will know, from the federal to the state level to the city level, that this is something that it's a great month of celebration, and we should add to that and exposure for the best, you know, that Ireland and the Irish have to offer.
Absolutely, and that's why it's a huge honour for the GA to be involved in Fifth Avenue. But I mean, many of our members will be out at the Rockaways, they'll be up in Woodlawn for the McLean Parade, the parades that are going on, there'll be GA members everywhere. Just because we're officially being recognised on Fifth Avenue doesn't mean that we don't consider all the other amazing cultural events going on.
Yeah. The of course, as we see again, the 400 plus members and representatives of the Gaelic Athletic Association on Fifth Avenue on that day. Many of them will be recognized, as you had mentioned before, not only from their own home county organizations, but the various, the many, many organizations that, indeed, Irish Americans like the Friendly Sons, the AOH, you name it. Again, these are not newcomers. These are people who have worn many, many hats and are very proud of it. And as we look across the United States and see the tremendous influence of the Gaelic Athletic Association and the expanding, you know, mission of the GAA, it's terrific. It's fantastic. Now, can you comment, please, on when we think of GAA, and I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about the rest of you. We have somehow we think in terms of big, strong, hefty, men, you know, that would, could, you know, like the American football players. The Gaelic Athletic Association, the ladies' teams, they have made such inroads. You know, just if you would comment on that.
Actually, and just on that, there will be a New York ladies team gathered together this year to compete in the All-Ireland Junior Championship at home, which I believe will take place August. Unfortunately, the weather has prevented them getting together so far, but they're in the early stages of building that team back up. I don't know if you remember or not, but about 3 years, well, 2.5 years ago, they had a great campaign. They got to the final and were unfortunately being beaten by Wicklow after a replay in Croke Park.
Yeah.
But yeah, ladies football and camogie. Camogie, again, going back to what I was saying earlier, camogie is, just like hurling, has started to really grow, especially across the US. And yeah, the energy there for ladies football and camogie is just incredible. And, but I'm looking forward to seeing, there's a lot of talent.
Yeah.
In ladies football in this city, and I think Rosie O'Reilly Broderick, she's a legend of the ladies football scene here, and I'm sure she'll be able to gather together a very impressive panel when the snow finally does start to clear.
My guest, friends, who has joined us is John Reardon, who is the public relations officer for the New York GAA, Gaelic Athletic Association. Great times ahead. John, finally, I want to point out that the Gaelic Athletic Association, the centenary, they're marching and being honored by the New York St. Patrick's Day Parade Committee is something that indeed has been earned, and earned very well, by a great number of people throughout the decades, and indeed going back for the 100 years. There are great times ahead, and it won't be any harm at all to feature the Gaelic Athletic Association for the amazing, you know, traditions that they have carried through the years. And I wish everybody the height of luck, and I know that there will be tremendous focus on the GAA as we move forward this month in particular.
Yeah, thank you. Obviously, as I said, you know, you want to celebrate the past, but it's about the future as well, which is why having the CYC here in late July is incredible. Coincidence is probably the wrong word, because these things happen in cycles anyway, but it's a real kind of lucky break that we also have the CYC here.
Tell us, the CYC is what?
Yeah, the Continental Youth Championships, which is a huge competition which goes across America. It involves both New York and North American county boards areas, but it's not within their remit. It's a separate organization. And it's specifically for young kids between the ages of, you know, roughly kind of maybe 6-7 onwards up to 13-14, and a huge variety of teams coming in. There'll be maybe 2,500 kids coming in to play. The tournament will be held at Randall's Island in late July, the last weekend in July. And it promises to be an incredible occasion. With or without a centenary, it's always a special one.
I know.
So as I say, that's what you want to, you're standing on the shoulders of the giants looking back, you know, with a celebration like this, but you're also trying to make sure that the games endure into the future, and the CYC is part of that. And anything that we've already said, anything we can do to help them out is, it floats everyone's boat, you know. It's going to be an incredible occasion, and it'll be at the height of our season as well, as we're coming into the local club championship season. And also before that, I should mention, just before the start of summer, there'll be the Northeastern Collegiate GAA Association will be having their tournament in New York as well. So they're having a range of college teams come in from around, from as far up as Massachusetts and down to D.C. So there's a good few teams coming in. You know, it's not, obviously the GAA isn't quite recognized at college, you know, university level in America, but that's where they want to go. That's what they're building towards, and they've got a very energetic committee trying to push that. So that should be a good occasion at the end of May up at Gaelic Park.
Listen, there's no doubt in my mind whatsoever that when you were selected as the public relations officer for the New York GAA, that was another election that wasn't all that tight. Okay, great, and thanks for the information, and good luck to you at all levels.
Thank you, appreciate it.
And friends, you are listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.